All right, Mr. Wade.
May it please the court. This is an appeal from a dismissal of a case that we filed on behalf of a mother and her child that she was trying to get what she regarded as an adequate education for. It's not about, as the defendant's brief would have the court think, about basketball. It's about the right of a mother to get what she believes will be her child sufficiently educated. To support that, Your Honor, I just want to highlight a couple of the major things in the complaint. Jeremy Newsom had gone to Okolona High School, and according to the complaint and also some affidavits that we attached in support of our motion for summary judgment, he was getting no education at Okolona High School. She said every time he'd go up there, he would be in the gym. He'd missed untold amounts of school where he just wasn't going to class. He'd failed four grades and they passed him on to two grades. He'd already failed his statewide education test, English test that he has to have to graduate. But nothing had been done to assist him at all. The complaint says that she decided, not for basketball reasons, fact of business, this lady's never been to a high school basketball game. I think I might comment on that in view of the comments I made in their brief. She decided to go to Nettleton for family personal reasons, but when she got there, she discovered a dramatic difference in how her child was being treated. They immediately got him started in English tutoring classes, and he passed. While he was in the Nettleton school, he passed that statewide English test so that he would be qualified to graduate. He was not going, he'd failed algebra one time at Okolona, and he was not going to be allowed to take it in time to graduate from high school, and they made special arrangements at Nettleton for him to take that. They put him in a tutoring program, and they began a testing procedure for him where they determined, this is pursuant to the IDEA, where they determined that he has learning disabilities, but only in two specific areas. He has learning disabilities, and they started making arrangements to cure those disabilities or to work on those disabilities. Now, going on at the same time, within a couple of weeks after he had transferred to Nettleton, the association, the defendant association that regulates high school athletics, I might say, Your Honor, that it's a voluntary association made of the public school districts, and they're given the authority to determine eligibility and just regulate high school athletics. They determined without any due process hearing, without any notice to Ms. Newsom, without any notice to her son, well, this is an athletic move. This child was a terrific basketball player. And they determined that you're just trying to get him over there because they want him to play basketball in Nettleton, and he's not eligible. Nobody ever said he couldn't.
Let me ask you about the High School Activities Association. Does it have any, you defined it in your complaint as a corporation formed by public school districts. Does it have any standing under state law? I'm not talking about state action. I'm not taking you there. But is there any statute that authorizes this kind of relationship between the school districts and their activities and the outside corporation?
Your Honor, I'm afraid I'm going to plead ignorance, but I haven't seen one. I don't think there's a statute that addresses that. If the court allow me to do some research on that subject, but I don't think there is. I don't believe there is.
All right. Thank you.
In that vein, I might say that's an important point here. The only authority that it has under the agreements that it has with the school district is to regulate athletics and other activities, do things like determine eligibility, come up with rules for participation, and that type of thing.
Was it involved with other outside activities like debate and other academic kinds of subjects, or is that a different association?
It does have non-athletic activities. Now, I can't say whether debate is one of them, but it does have some authority over non. I believe counsel is their regular attorney, Your Honor, and he could probably answer those questions right off the bat.
All right.
But I believe it does have that authority. There's some reference in the briefs to a hearing. There was a hearing held with the Nettleton School District. We never got any notice of hearing or hearing, and Ms. Traylor was subpoenaed as a witness at that hearing, but I wasn't allowed in the room during the other testimony. There's no question but what there was no hearing ever given on the issue of whether or not he's genuinely a resident of Nettleton. No hearing ever held, or the association never gave us any hearing on whether it should allow him to play basketball at Nettleton because he's a resident of Nettleton. There was no hearing prior to our filing suit, first in the Chancery Court and then in this court.
Is there any case law you had to rely on? You make both a substantive due process issue about not being given, there was no evidence to support their decision, and then a procedural argument. Do you have any case law that supports that there must be process given by an association like this before a disqualification from outside activities can be entered?
No, Your Honor. The only law that's going to be involved here is going to be the general rule that's in so many of the cases, is that is whether he has either a property or a liberty right given his special educational needs and given the fact that he's been prescribed this special education plan, which prescribes that he play basketball. Does he have either a property or a liberty right? If he does, he's entitled to procedural due process before he could be denied that right.
And you seem to accept, tell me if I'm wrong, in your brief, that the law was fairly settled that he would not have, but the Troxell case from almost 10 years ago now changed the underpinnings for those prior authorities. Is that an accurate explanation of your view of the law?
I think that's an accurate, Your Honor's accurately stated what I put in the briefs. I will say this, Your Honor. I think counsel made a good point when he said Troxell is similar to a lot of cases that were decided 20 years ago. But I might point this out. I think there's a case that's much stronger than Troxell for saying that the law, that those cases do not take into account his special needs, and that in view of those special needs, he's entitled to due process, and that is the Winkleman case, W-I-N-K-L-E-M-A-N. It's a United States Supreme Court case, 550 U.S. 516. It's cited there on the first page of my brief. But essentially, it leaves no doubt that a parent and a child have rights, not just suggestions, but rights under the IDEA to have a special education plan for that child and to have that child take care or to seek to deal with his disabilities. They have that as a right under that United States Supreme Court case, and that case necessarily modifies all these cases. And I'm certain counsel's going to say, well, Your Honors have said, every state court has said, every court of appeals said, there's no property right in playing intercollegiate sports, and I agree with that. But those cases do not address the question of a child who has a federal statute protecting his rights that gives him rights to an adequate public education. And that right is what I say that Winkleman makes clear is a federal statutory right that cannot be deprived without due process. It is a property right. It is a legitimate expectancy that he is going to have that special education plan followed. So his rights under the due process clause of the 14th Amendment are violated because this association took away that right without giving him notice of hearing or hearing.
Are you going to talk about exhaustion?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Your Honor. Under 1983, a claim for property or liberty without due process, of course, under Patsy, there does not have to be an exhaustion. So at the very most that you could be talking about is whether there is an exhaustion requirement under the IDEA claim. Also, there's no exhaustion requirement under the Americans with Disabilities Act claim. So at the most we could be talking about is whether the district court should have dismissed the IDEA claim for failure to exhaust. And on exhaustion, let me refer, Your Honors, to just a footnote in the defendant's brief where it quotes the applicable statute, the state statute, on page 11. And I think this highlights why I say there was no exhaustion requirement. When any, and this is quoting the Mississippi Code in footnote 11, when any public agency directly responsible for the education of children with disabilities refuses to initiate or change the educational placement of a child, then it talks about then you have to request a hearing. Well, the public agency responsible for the education of the child is the town of Nettleton. Nettleton has never taken any adverse interest to Mr. Newsom. Nettleton is the entity that prescribed the plan, that came up with the idea that we need the plan. And what is contemplated by this request for a hearing is a student and his parents saying, well, the school district is not providing for the education of my child, now we need a hearing officer to determine whether he should be making that provision. But there was no dispute about what to have a hearing about. So that's why we did not request one. But then, Your Honor, once they raised that issue and they filed a motion to dismiss, we requested the hearing and the agency refused it. As Your Honor knows, we made all kinds of attempts to get it. This suit was originally for an injunction to enjoin the association to let him play basketball at Nettleton. We made all the kinds of attempts to do that. And then finally, when Judge Davidson made his ruling that damages remedy was inadequate and he was not going to grant an injunction, he went down to Oklahoma to play basketball. They first wouldn't take him, said, you're going to have to claim you're a resident of Oklahoma before we're going to let you play. But then 2 days later, they reneged and said, okay, you can come over to Oklahoma and play. So they say after that it's moot because now you're at Oklahoma.
Did he graduate?
What he did, he finished his high school basketball at Oklahoma, then he transferred back to Nettleton and graduated from Nettleton.
So what relief do you seek?
What relief are we seeking now?
Yeah.
The only relief possible is damages, Ron. There's no other. The injunctive relief is moot, but I would emphasize the court, it's not a suit case where we filed seeking damages. We tried in the Chancery Court and then in the federal court to get an injunction to allow him to play. And, of course, the proof remained as to what damages he suffered by not being allowed to, by the trauma he went through and all this transfer of schools and not being allowed to get his education at Nettleton where his mother wanted him to. Your Honor, I think this case, there's a underlying very strong public policy question and constitutional law question I think is at the heart of a lot of political debate and a lot of meaning of the Constitution, and that is what right does a parent have to decide what is in the best educational interest of my child? That precise question is not before the court. You know, the school districts have always said, well, we can draw the lines and send them wherever we want to send them, no matter how bad the school is. But there is a heart of a question of whether a parent doesn't have the right to choose what's in the best educational interest of her child, especially in view of the comments that were made in Troxell. But we don't have to go that far in this case because the limited question is here, what right does a parent of a learning disabled child have to have what the school district prescribes that child should have so far as an education in a situation where the Oklahoma district is not giving it to her and won't give it to her? And we have ample evidence that basketball was a crucial part of this learning disabled child's education.
Well, he was playing basketball at Oklahoma, wasn't he?
Yes, sir, but he wasn't getting any education at Oklahoma. That's the problem. She as a parent says he needs both. And a psychologist that attached an affidavit says that he needs both. He was allowed to go back and do his basketball at Oklahoma, but according to his mother, that's all they do at Oklahoma is let him play basketball. So
let me understand the source of, if you have adjusted it at all from your brief, the source of the liberty interest that you're claiming.
Yes, the only source of the liberty interest is that described in Troxell, the liberty of a mother to control education of her child.
Well, but we have the case law that you acknowledge that being able to play interscholastic sports is not a protected interest, property interest. And you seem to be saying that IDEA has created this interest after the IEP was issued that says basketball is part of his necessary educational placement. Is that the source of the liberty interest that overrides this case law that says you don't have one in playing interscholastic sports?
All right, Your Honor, for court, please. I would characterize that interest as described in the Winkman case as being a property interest because it's created by statute, giving a reasonable expectation. He can have the right if he has either a liberty right or a property right.
And so the property interest is based in the statute that allowed the creation of this IEP.
Yes, the statute, as well as then the fact that he actually had an IEP prescribing basketball. That gives him a property right, which could not be deprived without notice of hearing and hearing.
Who would have given the notice and hearing? Not the Mississippi High School Activities Association doesn't owe him that right, does it?
Yes, sir.
It's the school that owes him that right.
They would have to owe him that right because they're the one that's depriving him of the...
Well, this is an outside nonprofit corporation. Yes. Why would they owe him that right?
Well, because they're the one that's taking the right away from him, Your Honor. They're the one that made the decision. Here's the situation they got Nettleton in. If you let him play, you'll forfeit all your games. You can't let him play. It wasn't Nettleton's fault. So, and Nettleton couldn't do it because if they gave him a hearing and said, well, we think he's a resident of Nettleton, the association's still not going to let him play. So the only one that could give him that, hearing would be them. And they do have hearings. You know, they had a hearing for Nettleton. It's not that they don't have hearings. They just didn't give him a hearing.
What's the mileage between Oklahoma and Nettleton, roughly?
Let me see, Your Honor. Let me think about that a minute. I'm going to say under 25 miles between where the schools are. If the court doesn't have any Well, I got yellow, so let me just make one other point, Your Honor. We have a claim under the ADA. They have a duty to accommodate under the ADA, and there are a number of cases cited in the briefs, and there are also others that say that you have to relax an athletic rule if it interferes with a disabled child's disability plan under the ADA. I understand counsel's got some cases that say under the IDEA there's no claim for damages, but that's not true under the ADA, and we have some cases to that effect on that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wade. We'll hear your rebuttal later. Mr. Trotter.
Good morning, may it please the court. Your Honor, you asked some good questions of Mr. Wade that, with your permission, I'd like to address very briefly before I start. Nettleton and Okolona, I think, are about 11 miles apart. A lot of the arguments that Mr. Wade just made to you are substantive arguments that go to the heart of his case, but remember that the district court dismissed this case because they did not satisfy the predicate before filing a civil action. All of their claims are based on an alleged violation of an IDEA claim, an individual education plan promulgated by the School of Nettleton for this student, which they say that the Activities Association violated. Let's put the timeline back in perspective before we go any further. Jeremy Newsom enrolled in Oklahoma School his senior year as a regular education student. He left there in mid-August and transferred to Nettleton and enrolled as a regular education student. When the Activities Association ruled him ineligible for violation of their transfer and residency requirements, he was a regular education student. It was not until 5 days after Nettleton was informed by the association that he had been ruled ineligible that they began the process of referring him for analysis or for special education treatment. And that's a whole separate issue as to whether what they did was valid. But you'll see in the record that the association took the position that it was a highly irregular proceeding. That's another issue for why this case was dismissed by the district court. District court dismissed it because the IDEA is clear that you must exhaust all administrative remedies before you file your civil action.
Well, counsel, the statute says before filing of a civil action under laws seeking relief that is also available under this subchapter. And it seems to me, Mr. Wade's point that the only reason for a due process hearing is if the parents and the school cannot agree on what is proper in an IEP that the process has come up with. And those parties were in agreement. There really wasn't much that a hearing officer sent down by the state and the state itself would have been resolving unless they injected themselves into, as you might be suggesting in your brief, sort of a bogus IEP that focuses on basketball. But the parties themselves, you don't have to accept that that's what your brief suggests, but anyway, the parties themselves were in agreement. And the problem was this third party, a high school activities association, that would not allow that aspect of the IEP to be carried out. So what would have been the purpose or even the authority of a hearing officer in the state administrative process to deal with the fundamental issue that's been brought to us?
The reason I was shaking my head is not that I'm disagreeing with your characterization of his argument. I'm saying that the argument misses the point. Okay, understand that the Activities Association operates through delegated authority from its members, the school districts. Under Mississippi statute, the school districts and the schools are vested with the authority to regulate extracurricular activities, including sports like basketball. The only reason the Activities Association operates is because of that delegated authority through its members. Now, what should have happened in this case? Because remember, Nettleton did not let the young man play basketball. Doesn't matter that they wanted him to play basketball. Doesn't matter that they agreed he should have played basketball. Bottom line is, they did not let him. Okay, the Activities Association said he's in violation of our rules and he should not play. Nettleton could have let him play. Had they done so, obviously they would have faced sanctions from the MHSAA because they are a member, but they could have done that. But what should have happened is there should have been a due process request to the Department of Education. And as you see in the record, they actually did that after they filed the complaint. But they never let the process run its course. The day after requesting it, the young man withdrew from Nettleton and returned to Okolona.
Well, let's run the course. What could have happened in the administrative process that's relevant?
Sure, absolutely. This is what could have happened. The Department of Education could have come in, looked at the IEP, and said, this is a perfectly valid IEP, and it's perfectly legitimate for Jeremy Newsom to be told under the IEP or to be allowed under the IEP to play basketball. Therefore, Nettleton, High School Activities Association, allow him to play.
Well, Nettleton, But how could they have told, I know you said delegated authority, you're saying that this due process hearing could have led to the Department of Education, we've got the state involved now, that they would have had the authority to order an exception to the general rules on disqualification?
I think they could have ordered it. Now, it's another question as to whether the association will be bound. I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is if the Department of Education had reviewed that plan and had said, we think that's a valid exercise of the program under the IDEA by the School of Nettleton, and we believe that, yes, Jeremy Newsom should play basketball as a part of his education as provided for under the IDEA, I can guarantee you that as counsel for the association, my position would have been we have to give that serious consideration as to whether we waive the rule or not. The problem is they ran to the courthouse before they ever let that process take place, and that's exactly why the IDEA put the exhaustion requirements in place. It was to allow the experts in education to correct errors, assuming there was an error made, before it comes to the court.
That's the purpose of the due process hearing, which has to be initiated. It's not an automatic, every time you have an IEP, you then go into due process. It's when the parents are dissatisfied with the IEP that is developed. Isn't that what starts the due process? And the parents weren't dissatisfied.
But they were dissatisfied that it was not implemented.
Not the IEP.
The IEP with respect to basketball was never implemented by Nettleton because they never let the young man play. So it's not that they agreed that he should play that's the problem. It's the carrying out of the IEP that is the problem. And they have the right to request a due process hearing even if they say, well, we've agreed on an IEP, but the school is not delivering the services that we agreed to under the IEP. I have a son with a learning disability. I went through this process with him in first grade. He has central auditory processing disorder. So I understand that even though parents can agree with the school as to what needs to be done, it's still the school's responsibility to carry it out under this process. And in this case, that didn't happen. Admittedly, they didn't do it because, on the right hand, they've delegated the administration of athletic activities to the association, while the left hand of Nettleton says he should play basketball. The right hand is saying he can't play basketball because he didn't establish residency properly. And remember that the residency rule is neutral. It applies to handicapped, non-handicapped, disabled, non-disabled, without regard to disability. And remember again that that rule was implemented, or he was declared ineligible, before they ever even started the process of referring him for special ed. But all of that aside, the district court dismissed the case because they didn't exhaust administrative remedies. And it wouldn't have been futile. It's entirely possible that the Department of Education would have said, this is an absolutely valid use of the IEP, it's for a good purpose, he should be allowed to play. That would have resolved the issue before it ever went to court. That's the whole purpose for exhaustion administrative remedies.
You would then be saying that all our authority is the competition, interscholastic competition. And we're not a part of, we're not subject to the statutory right for special education simply because we're controlling competition. We're not controlling playing basketball. You can play basketball anytime you want to, but you can't compete in our association. That would be a position you would be contending if that were the ruling of the Department of Education, would you not?
I think the
That's
ruling-
a friendly question.
Can you restate it? Because I'm not sure I'm following.
Skip it. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, Judge.
But it does seem to me that your position here basically is that you are only an association that controls competitive basketball, and you do not have under the law any liberty interest to a student to play competitive basketball. There's no liberty interest there. That's clear what the law is.
I would agree with that, Your Honor. Yes.
And if it could be proved that somehow you're involved in the plan, then that's something that has to be exhausted before it comes to court.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know that's friendly.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. Move, if you would, because it's a question I asked Mr. Wade. All right. If he doesn't exhaust under IDEA and that's a proper dismissal, what do we do with ADA and the other claims?
Those claims go with it, Your Honor, because the case law that we've cited in our argument show that, or in our brief, from all the various circuits as well as the district courts in the Fifth Circuit, hold that you cannot recast your claim, which is grounded on a violation of the IDEA, as some other claim to avoid the exhaustion requirement. If you fail to exhaust, you fail to exhaust as to all. That's what the cases that we've cited hold. And that stems from the Gardner and Flores cases in this jurisdiction, as well as that Efferson opinion that the district courts in this circuit have relied upon. And those are set out in our brief. So failure to exhaust, it's not simply exhaust the IDEA claim or bar that claim, it bars them all, because they all are grounded in the allegation that the IEP was not properly implemented. The entire case is nothing more than the school agreed with me that I should play basketball and you have not allowed me to play basketball. That is the gravamen of the complaint. Since they all stem from that, and that is a violation of the IDEA in their view, if you fail to exhaust, you don't get any of them. It's just simply a dismissal without prejudice. He can go back and exhaust his remedies if he'd like now and refile it, is the way I look at it.
Can he exhaust it, or would it be moot because of the graduation or moving on, whatever?
Well, certainly with respect to allowing him to play, it would be moot. But because the IDEA does not allow for compensatory punitive damages, it may well be moot to all of his claims. You've got a situation where certainly he cannot come back from college now and play. We would argue.
Would the mootness of the IDEA claim then free the ADA and other claims?
I believe not. I believe the failure to exhaust basically bars the bringing forward of those claims as well. That's why that entire procedure is there. That's why it's written into the IDEA, is if these other claims are centered on the IDEA claim, you must go through this process to resolve it first. And failing to do that, those claims should all be barred.
Well, let's go the other direction. Through some excess of judicial failure to understand your argument, I didn't phrase that very well. Let's say we don't accept the exhaustion issue. Where are we then? What is your argument that this dismissal is still proper on any grounds other than exhaustion?
Oh, okay. Well, if you look at the ADA and the Section 504 argument, I would say that he's going to lose on that, because under those claims, you must show that the violation is somehow, there's some sort of a causal nexus between the alleged disability and the violation. Let me give you a good example of the types of cases that fit that. There are a number of cases involving activities, associations, and students where learning disabled students ran afoul of age limitations, or of grade point minimums, or of time limitations. And the exact reason they ran afoul of them was because the learning difficulties prevented them from advancing through school on a normal pace. They were held back, or they repeated several grades, or they were not able to. And what happens in those kinds of cases, and they're typically age limitation cases, is the cases can go forward on a 504 or an ADA claim for a failure to properly accommodate, because it is the disability itself that leads to the violation of the rule. It is the child's disability that caused them to have to repeat grades in school that led to them being too old by the time they were a senior. So the blanket rule that says as a senior, if you're over the age of 19, you can't compete, those cases have held that perhaps there's a case under ADA or Section 504. It's not the case here. The case here is simply the young man's mother moved from Oklahoma to Nettleton. States in her complaint the move was based on nothing more than an estrangement from her husband, had nothing to do with his education at the time she made the move. So the ruling that he could not compete that year was based on a failure to properly comply with our residency and transfer requirements, and based on an investigation by the association that there was evidence that this was a move made for athletic purposes. There's absolutely no causal nexus between his alleged learning disabilities and the restriction on playing that year. So an ADA or a 504 complaint would fall. They couldn't stand, couldn't make it. And I think the rest of the claims are subject to the same argument.
All right, sir. If you don't have anything else, I think we'll let you sit down.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, Mr. Wade.
Your Honor, if it pleases the court, I just absolutely, totally, 100% disagree with what he said about we wouldn't have a claim under the ADA. I mean, it's a part of the ADA. The ADA doesn't just prohibit intentional discrimination because of disability. It also makes it unlawful to refuse to make a reasonable accommodation for a disabled child. So let's assume that this association is correct, which they have absolutely no evidence of their position, by the way, but if they had any evidence of it, that the child is not a resident of Nettleton, they could still make an exception for this child because of his disability and his need to play basketball. And the failure to make that exception is a failure to reasonably accommodate under the ADA. Now, all that is not really, I really think the district judge should deal with all those issues because he simply dismissed it on grounds of failure to exhaust. And I also couldn't disagree more. Well, I'm disagreeing with the district court as well with what counsel's saying about if you claim under the IDEA is barred, then everything else is. What they're talking about, or the general rule is, if you file claims that are just a rehashment, you're really making an IDEA claim, but you put some type of due process or you sue under 1983, then true, all that's barred. But here what we have is totally different claims. We have a claim under the 14th Amendment of a denial of property and liberty without due process. The only thing the IDEA has to do with that is it creates the property interest, just like some cases the state statute does. And under Patsy, no exhaustion is required. Similarly, there's no exhaustion under the Americans with Disabilities Act requirement. After we couldn't get the injunctive relief, we sued for damages under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So those claims do not have to be exhausted, and we sued for damages for the failure to reasonably accommodate. Your Honor, I feel like I didn't do an adequate job on these cases, and I, with the court's leave, will send a letter and try to cite some additional of these cases that I. But when he says that you just can't bring separate, you can't bring a 1983 claim for violation of due process, I just disagree with that. You can't bring it if all it is a rehashment of the IDEA claim.
I don't think that's the same situation as a 28J. This is a newer.
Yes, sir. Yes.
We'll go on the briefs as submitted.
All right. Okay. Okay. If there's not any questions, Your Honor, that's all right.
Thank you, Mr. Wade. Okay, we have your argument. Case under submission. We'll hear the final oral argument.